Club are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
Now the gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
Slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try. It's a sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
We are officially fired up, Chris, because I got 2 points. My team, St. George Illawarra, and your team got 2 points. I don't know how that happened, but we'll talk about that later, shall we?
I can talk you with forensic detail how that happened.
For the next hour?
Exactly.
Okay.
And change.
Okie dokie. In the meanwhile, though, so one of the... Well, we saw some interesting activities over the weekend of rugby league, including, certain politicians' sons, certain ladies running across the field, all sorts of activity that you don't normally associate with rugby league. Let's just dive straight into it. There was a game, Canterbury Bankstown, I think, with the Chooks.
Yes.
At Gosford. The name of the oval is called?
Industry Group Stadium. Used to be Blue Tongue.
It's got a ring to it. Blue Tongue has a better ring.
I love Blue Tongue back in the Singo days. Then for it was
That's
then,
a grog, a beer, right?
Yeah, then it was the somewhat Eastern Bloc sounding Central Coast Stadium.
Central Coast Stadium.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there was a bit of a wipeout, really. The Bulldogs went down.
Look, the Bulldogs have been showing a lot of tenacity. They're second best defence in the league.
Resilience, Chris.
No, I won't say that word, Stephen.
What about grit?
All that word.
All that word.
Courtesy of Supercoach Giraldo, but...
Supercoach Giraldo.
The Roosters, dare I say it, Stephen, came to play. And it is, by default, their home ground. And one would have thought that given...
Hang on. Canterbury Bankstown, Southwest Sydney, by default...
No, the Roosters, they always take the game to the good people of the Central Coast who still miss the Northern Eagles and because nobody else does. And so they're perhaps more familiar with surroundings. But one would have thought with the teeming rain that the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, they might be mutters, they'd like the slop, but they were overmatched, overpowered and basically overscored.
And would you say distracted?
Let me tell you, the game just didn't follow a linear path. No. There were all sorts of incursions and X factors, the weather being one of them.
Yes. But that doesn't stop some intrepid people, particularly if you've got a degree in what we used to call streaking, Chris. And unfortunately, Channel 9 seem to have some aversion towards showing the streak because we love the streak, regardless of whatever form or shape the streak takes. But Eagle Eyes did spot this blurry figure running long ways down the field, the full 100 metre, not 120 metre.
Correct.
Yeah. And then let's just pull it apart. It was a woman.
Yes.
Now, obviously the first thing you do is let's go back and you've got to plan these things, right? Because you know that you're up for perhaps up to $5,000, but in this case it was $1,100 fine if you get caught doing it.
Well, let's just get that context straight away, Stephen. Yeah. If you run onto the Sydney Cricket Ground, the old girl, as we like to refer to
the big games,
you're looking at a $5,000, 500 fine, including
minimum.
GST, right?
Yeah.
By way of comparison, Central Coast, a lazy grand should do it.
Is it scale to wage? Or property value?
People say that we've got public servants not doing valuable jobs, Stephen. Yeah. The person who determines the level of fine for the offence based on the context of where the ground is situated.
That's a heavyweight job.
That's a hugely important job.
Now,
Cogger Jubilee, I think they pay people to actually perform on there. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Now, you may claim there are two points of views here, Chris. One is it's spontaneous. It just is like spur of the moment. You could say a brain fade, an outburst of blood vessels gone nuts and go, right, I'm going to get my gear off and run. Or too much grog, right? Or the opposite. You may plan it for weeks and go, I really want to get on that ground. I really want to be seen by the television cameras and my mates.
The interesting thing is, I haven't done a deep dive into pitch invading, but I'm generally assuming that it's not a lone wolf,
no.
That there's some sort of support crew. So you're in amongst a group who, I don't know, whip you up into a fervor saying you're the bunny, off you go. Because if nothing else, the idea of invading the pitch, getting tackled by a poorly trained security officer, carted
could
off
be embarrassing
to the local cop
shameful,
shop.
Shameful, yes. Right?
You need someone to bail you out.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, and you miss most of the game anyway. And is that not a documentary in the making?
Oh, I think the psychology of the pitch invader is a multi-part documentary on Amazon Prime.
Absolutely.
And you make a good point. Generally, the pitch invader is towards the end of the fixture, right?
Due to the grog.
Right. But in this particular case, bludger of a game, pouring down rain, I think they brought forward the schedule.
And you might assume two points of view. One is that I'm celebratory because the Roosters are winning. Or the other side, I'm really pissed off, so I'm just going to run across the field and create havoc because the doggies are losing. Now, it was a woman. We actually saw the photo.
Yes.
Colours.
So, essentially a black top.
Black top, midriff, bare midriff.
Bare midriff.
Little briefs.
Not briefs.
Or cut-off jeans.
Yeah, cut-off jeans.
Yeah, standard practice.
Yeah, I mean,
if you go to, what is it called? Is it your minor fair? Standard practice, right?
Errand affair.
Errand affair.
I mean, to be honest, I recognise it as the prototype fashion for the Australian track and field team in Paris.
That's
it was a very similar design. Ah. So there might have been a bit of late aerodynamic testing going on here.
Okay, so onto the field you go.
Mm.
Okay, I'm assuming bare feet at this point.
And, you know, again, I don't want to try and, you know, determine someone's socioeconomic status, but I'm assuming she's coming from the goal line, right, because she's run the length of the field. The typical pitch invasion generally is sideline to sideline.
You're talking straight up member side.
Yeah, right, but she's come from behind the goal line, so obviously general admission.
Oh, okay, GP.
Right. And so that gives you a sort of some sort of framework as to what was going on here.
Okay.
So she's climbed onto the pitch behind the goal line.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing...
And we didn't hear any noises. We weren't privy to that.
No, not on the... Well, there's no one there.
Yeah. Go, the doggies!
My mental picture is she's come from the end where I was a couple of years back where they kicked the ball and it actually ended up on the road and the guy stopped the car and kicked it back in, which is where the palm trees are and Lake Macquarie.
And that would be... Would suggest it's a Canterbury Bankstown supporter because they always go over the rail line.
Exactly.
And someone's got to kick them back.
It's kind of familiar.
Yeah. Kind of familiar. Now, this is really disappointing that I'm hoping that Channel 9 and or Foxtel actually keep the footage for this documentary forthcoming.
Well, look at it. That could be the answer, Stephen, because there was a pact, and I think we can identify the moment where the networks were obligated, you know, probably by Volandis. It's got his fingerprints all over it. He sees a dollar in everything, let me tell you. The conventional argument is they will not film the pitch invader because it gives them what they want, attention, currency.
Yeah, credibility.
The public entertainment.
Yes,
right?
Because
aren't you're watching Canterbury Roosters going, why? Why am I doing this? Yeah. Why has my life ended up at this particular
point? And
you're
hoping the cameraman's asleep for a period of time, right?
And then you see the sort of the excitement in the players' eyes. They go, okay, we've got something to see here. And we're denied.
Yeah.
And it's supposedly so you don't encourage the behaviour. But I think it's what you're saying is that they are warehousing the footage for their documentary.
Okay.
You know, the test style, the pitch invader.
I wonder whether it might be, you know, Sofia Coppola.
Yes.
She's great, loves the rugby league. I'm just trying to think who else could be involved in this sort of cape coming.
Her second feature, I think, The Virgin Suicides, was actually looking at the history of the Newcastle Knights.
Was that right?
Yeah, the whole thing was allegory with Air doing the soundtrack.
So, see, PVL again.
That's right.
He's up to his neck in deals.
But can you remember the moment where we were no longer allowed to watch the pitch invader?
Well, I'm assuming the greatest of all, of course, was the great Waddy.
Correct.
Right. He's like a magician, right? Fully naked, right? And tubby.
Yes.
Can I say that word?
Yeah.
Not chubby, tubby.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it was at the big field.
It was out Homebush. At Acor. It was Origin.
Yeah, and it was a full run, and he was so slippery they couldn't catch him for ages, right?
That's right.
And the crowd delighted. What was the game, Chris?
It was Queensland, New South Wales. I think Queensland benefited from his involvement in the play.
Yeah.
But it was perfectly timed. The game was still on the line, yet it was near the end of the game.
Yes.
And critically, and you know, he sort of looked like he was oiled up.
He did look oiled up.
And
But he how did he get to that point across that fence?
But he was Buck Rogers naked.
Can you imagine if you're like five seats up and you've seen this guy taking his shoes and socks off and he's getting his gear, pants are coming down, thinking, uh-oh, here we go. Camera's ready.
He would literally slither past you and just sort of slide off.
In fact, no one's going to say, no, don't do it.
He slid off the handrail, got him going, got the momentum up because he didn't look like he was that much of an athlete.
Yeah.
But he was really motoring along. But most importantly, he was naked and everybody loved it, Stephen. And then what we were led to believe is we can't show this anymore because I wanted to do a waddy. Have you seen that?
Do a waddy.
But in fact, to me, Origin, which is on tomorrow, Stephen, it defines a lot of things.
Yes.
And as the moment when Paul Gallen finally decided to put his fist into the huge noggin of Nate Miles ended the punch in rugby
league.
Right,
yes.
Waddy ended the streak in rugby league and TV coverage.
Okay. How boring is that? The Mexican wave. Oh, God, really? Is that what? And they film that. Happy for that. The cricketer anywhere, you know. And poor old Waddy does this masterpiece. But he's two words, Chris. Gritty.
And resilient.
Resilient, right?
I'll actually concede that he is resilient. Because my understanding, he was arrested and thrown in the clink.
I think Strathfield Police Station.
Still naked.
Still naked.
Not even given a loincloth.
They gave him some spare clothes to make him walk home. And he was filmed by the Daily Telegraph walking home. Poor bugger. So he never forgot that, did he? The pain, the suffering, the shame. Never forgot it.
But he also saw a dollar in it.
Sure, of course. Absolutely. If PVL can do it, I can do it too. So he thinks to himself, okay, I'm going to start a school. I won't call it streaking because that's not everybody's naked anymore, are they?
Well, this is probably the biggest disappointment over the last 10 years. If you go back to the 1970s, and I can almost remember the name of the woman who streaked at Twickenham once, and it was a real thing, and it was as a young man, it was an education.
Of course, it was
right.
Yeah,
and
bits you never saw.
It was called streaking. I mean. Gosh, what was that? Ray, what's his name? He had the song, they call it The Streak.
Ray Stevens.
Yeah, Ray Stevens. We played that on this show. And now I don't know whether it's the nanny state we live in, but there's a false and unfortunate modesty that people no longer streak.
And they actually put up the fine saying, pitch invaders, $5,000 plus GST, $5,500. I mean, how organised is that?
If
give us your credit card now.
Again, that's another opportunity. Prepay.
Yeah, prepay.
Like, after pay.
Are you ready?
But if they put that sign up in the 70s, pitch invaders, I wouldn't have a clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But now we have to have this broader catch-all because most of them, including the woman at Industry Group Stadium last Saturday night, fully clothed.
And, if you've got to fight the man, right, you've got to have a system. Mm. So if you've got a system trying to stop you doing it, then you've got a system to actually get through the hoops to get you on that field and get you through. Now, this woman, name unknown, because they don't release names, do they? Apparently she went to a college, and not a streakers college, but a pitch invaders college.
Yes.
Now, much like the old rock and roll venues where there'd be a little peephole and you knock, knock, knock at one at midnight because you don't want to be seen going in or going out. Such a place, the back of a lane somewhere, the back of a warehouse.
It's a little bit like the old raves, Stephen, on the Orbital Road System in the UK. You've actually got to dial this number at a particular point and find out where the college actually is tonight.
Right.
All done under the cover of darkness, which is ironic given that ultimately you're exposing yourself on, I won't call Roosters Canterbury a grand stage, but a stage nonetheless.
But to get to that point, you need anonymity.
Correct.
Yeah, and even though they keep the anonymity, you still got to use that to get there. So we reckon Waddy's behind this.
I believe that Waddy's set up the school. It's interesting because it's a war, Stephen. It's a war against technology. Yes. This biometric stuff at the stadiums now.
It's the Chinese writ large.
They're scanning you like Dom Young to see whether you've got an outstanding ambulance bill.
That's right.
But they're also scanning you for pitch invader.
Yes.
Is there a genetic marker that they can identify? Now, you need to...
If there's a camera up the laneway of where these people go to study at the Pitch Invaders College, face recognition. You're filmed, you're recorded. So they're scanning the whole stadium automatically way before.
Which is why the Pitch Invader College is covert, the PIC. But also the technology they use to determine bird flu, COVID, et cetera, at airports, the heat map of people, if it's a little bit redder, that is an indicator that someone's feeling a bit nervous, a little bit under pressure, and they could be a candidate.
Is this down the nether region too?
Well, we'll come to that.
Okay.
So Waddy is schooling people to maintain emotional regulator style, like T-Baz,
yes,
they're calm and not sweat, yeah, as they go into the facility. Yes.
This reeks of spy films from the 1950s, doesn't it?
It's incredible. So there are various lecturers, and I think you're going to identify the most important in a moment.
Yes.
But there'll be issues like best point of entry of a ground.
Yeah.
Are you a side-to-side or
do you wear
length
undies?
For length? That's right.
Yeah.
Clothing. Definitely how to take a tackle.
What's that stuff called? You know.
Velcro?
Velcro.
Yeah.
All great performers.
Like the basketballers.
Magic Mike.
Off come the track pants and there's your streaking gear or pitch invading gear. Definitely how to take a bump, receive a tackle, because inevitably...
You're going to go down.
It's likely that you're going to go down.
When you've got six people chasing you.
Correct, but you get a lot of training of how it is possible. I guarantee you on the sports magazine shows this week...
Yeah, right.
They'll pull out the footage of the kid who streaked across the ground into the construction, jumped over the fence and managed to get away running up the road.
And I'm assuming Waddy's been banned for life.
In this hemisphere.
In this hemisphere, okay. Now, we heard on the grapevine, we did a bit of looking into this, didn't we, Chris?
We did.
And they do have guest lecturers at this college for pitch invading, you know. So they went to the expert, a man called Peter Hall.
The serial pest.
The serial pest. Yeah. Now, let's just remind ourselves, because we love the serial pest.
Michael Ennis's hero.
Michael Ennis. He's disrupted many major events. He doesn't think small, Chris.
No.
He doesn't think gossip. What's it called?
Industry groups.
No. He might give advice that others may take, but they need to step up their game.
That's right.
And so, let's face it, the Melbourne Cup down the straight, right? the Australian Open, no less.
Which one? Tennis or golf or both?
Tennis, yeah. there was also the wonderful World Cup where he pulled down the netting and had to stop the game.
That's very bitter for football fans in Australia, Stephen, because Australia was leading around 2-0 and needed to win that game to qualify for the World Cup finals.
Right.
And Iran, following the intervention of Peter Hall, bounced back to a 2-2 draw and we were bounced out of the World Cup, Stephen.
He's even tried Parliament House. The legal way and the illegal way. So he actually put his hand up for the seat of Griffith and against Rudd. Didn't win, no.
Close.
But then somehow got in the door at Parliament House and caused havoc there. And, of course, one that I was at with Michael Hutchence's funeral, where he jumped over the top of the balcony where the choir sits with a rope around his neck, yelling ridiculous things.
Disrespectful but memorable.
Yes, and held in high regard, Chris. And I don't think there's a Lord of Australia for him in any shape or form. But, boy, at that college, he's very much... I think they bumped the fee up for $20 that night.
That's right. And there was a meet and greet.
Get your phone.
Take him. I think in...
No photos, though, Chris.
In rugby league terms, he went on to what is now known as McDonald Jones Stadium on a bike with a kitty cat in a cage.
In a cage.
On a wheelbarrow situation
trolley. Andrew Johns was completely mystified and missed it altogether. Like, what the hell is going on? This guy's on a tricycle.
But if I understand where Joey Johns was during those playing days, he was slightly impressed, wasn't he?
Not focused, Chris.
In fact, that's the last distraction he needed.
I've only got one vocal cord left, but geez, I like to fire up.
Rugby league, Chris, keeps on giving.
Mm.
We heard some great commentary from Vossie and Brandy the other day.
And I don't know about you, Brandy, but I do like the little guys. I think they continue to fly the flag and the game of the big imposing athletes that we have. It is so good that the little guy can still stand up and stand tall in the NRL.
I think everyone's got a soft spot for the little guy, Andrew, and you only have to go through the competition, the little guy. So, and I'm sure that they're favourites amongst fans from other teams.
Is that a film? Danny DeVito? Come on now, the little guy. How many times I say, and you know when you say, stop digging. He's just getting further into a hole there. And when he said they should stand up tall, I mean, really, and we got a soft spot for the little guy.
Look, some people have unkindly referred to you and me as the second edition of twins.
Twins, that's right. Danny.
We like to liken ourselves to the Proven Summons Trophy, of course.
Exactly.
That's a different thing.
And we've had our ding-dong battles about big guys versus little guys. I hate the fact that basically you've got to be tall to be in basketball. Little guys just don't have a chance.
That's just so untrue. Muggsy Bogues, still the all-time assist
leader. Prerequisite 6 foot
for
six,
the
Chris.
Charlotte Hornets franchise was 5'3.5". Spud Webb won the dunk contest, 5'7".
You can talk all the names you want. How many more you got? None.
Well, there's a few more. But Jai Gray, of course, was the subject of the discussion
there. He was the little guy in question.
Replacing Latrell Mitchell, who's on Origin duty. He's got that very, very white headgear.
Right.
And plays a lot of courage, no fear, Stephen. And, I mean, do you get a sort of a slightly patronising feel coming in?
Oh, I bet my word exactly. We've all got a soft spot for the little guy. And didn't most people say, well, the little guy will always outrun the big guy? But if they're both the same speed or the equal calibre, then the big guy might win.
It's basic physics, I guess. But we've got a couple of other little guys in rugby league at the moment. Trey Fuller doing a sterling job replacing the hammer at the Dolphins and almost took the game to overtime with a very, very clever pass to Jermaine Asako down the stretch there that just didn't quite result in a try. But going back in time, Preston Campbell, of course, comes to mind.
I go back to Billy Smith.
I was going to say, the man you regard as the most handsome man in rugby league. Handsome and
great
little.
Side levers, do you think, though, they have little nice little video nights like Vossi and Brownie where they're watching films about Napoleon, maybe, or what about Prince, Purple Rain on repeat, you know, or Peter Dinklage, the man himself.
Hang on, but Prince was a very good basketball player now that you mentioned that.
And poor, very competitive, apparently.
That's right.
I don't know how he got rugby league, though.
And I think probably one of the great treatises on this subject was Warwick Davis and his Gervais merchant vehicle, Life's Too Short. Stephen.
Yes.
And look, I think what he brought was dignity and humour to the situation.
Dignity. Okay. Now, talking of dignity, I've fallen foul of you. I've introduced that segment too early.
That's all right.
We can come back to that.
That's it. Of course we can.
Okay. Now, great news that the front page of all the newspapers this week is a very rugby league story. And I'm talking about Ziploc bags, Chris.
Yes.
Tom Dutton, son of Peter Dutton, Mr. Potato Head, has done a prank on, I think, Snapchat. And really, is that not rugby league to its nth, you know? He's holding it up. He's going, hello, everybody. How's your day? Mine's pretty good.
So this was taken on a Gold Coast balcony.
A Gold Coast balcony, Chris?
Wearing North Queensland Cowboy shorts, correct?
Correct. So he knows it's State of Origin week. He's partying already, right? And I don't know if Peter's approving or Peter's with him.
Well,
or where?
Apparently it's a private matter for the Dutton family, Stephen, and I don't really feel like we need to respect that. But
no, well, Jackie Lambie already foresaw this because she was talking about the nuclear issue. She said, he just pulled this out of his clacker. but now he's got a bigger problem out of his clacker, right?
He's not big on details at the moment, Dutton. No, it was a one-page press release about seven nuclear power plants and now not really embracing. And, of course, this is all alleged because who knows what's in the bag.
No, we're not saying anything else in the bag.
Well, the Daily Telegraph certainly emphasised that in no way are they suggesting there was drug use involved.
No. But just to bring back to Peter again, he did make a quote this week, and I bring this back to rugby league, that Anthony Albanese was a little boy in a man's body. Hey, does that mean he has a soft spot for him?
Yeah, well, I think everybody does.
Right.
And this is a big miscalculation by Dutton, surely. Because Vossi and Brandy have got it right. Everybody's got a soft spot for the little guy.
Exactly. Would you call Albo a little guy? Well, he's got a little man in a man's body. Anyway, Tom Dutton was found, it's part of the media store. 18 was photographed with what was described as a birthday treat at a Surfers Paradise apartment in the Gold Coast. Wearing a plain white T-shirt and North Queensland cowboy shorts, Tom was facing the camera while holding a bag in his hand going, up the Queensland blue of Maroons. But it's certainly rugby league any which way.
Hang on. So he was photographed saying that, not filmed saying that. And they were able to work out from the photograph that he was going up the road. Those Queenslanders.
Yeah. We're still digging, Chris. Still digging.
No. So it does feel very much within rugby league's wheelhouse.
Let's come back and talk about State of Origin. Is there one little guy that is in the State of Origin game number 2 playing in Melbourne? We'll talk about that in a minute. That would fit that bill of being the softer spot little guy.
Oh, that's definitely Reece Walsh, isn't it?
Reece Walsh.
I don't really want him around there.
Don't you, Jeff? Is he playing?
He's playing.
Okay.
Well, that
Hey, Chris, we got a news update. Flash, flash, flash. That woman who did the streak, pitch invasion.
Yes.
She left her phone behind on the ground, and there was photo evidence to come through, which we must have missed somehow, with Atkins, the referee.
Yeah, Graham Joey Atkins, who I had the pleasure of catching a plane with up to Cbus Super Stadium last year, Stephen. Lovely gentleman. And one wonders.
Yes. It's too lovely, you think.
Everyone says it's perhaps bizarrely with the proliferation of online dating apps and so forth.
Yeah.
It's increasingly hard to meet someone.
Right.
I don't know what Joey's status is. I don't know what the woman's status is. No. But is that a very elaborate means by which call me?
Well, how else is she going to get to him, Chris? Because, I mean, he's obviously high profile. He's protected by security when he comes on and off. He flies in and out, all that sort of stuff.
And this is another one of the techniques that Waddy is speaking. Yeah. How do you get to well-known people? Yeah. Invade pitches. Because, look, I invited Joey on the show. He said, I'd love to do it. And then I approached the NRL for a clearance.
They went,
just went down the
Google. Now, the dating game's a tough one, Chris, particularly at that level with those sort of personalities. And I'm sure this woman has really been working hard at this. And she's probably got Peter Hoare's advice about this.
Yes.
And just drop the phone. Because, you know, he's a good man.
And
an honest man.
That's right. Yeah. Turning an honest dollar. And obviously, Joey's picked it up. And because let me tell you, Stephen, there's one thing I know for a fact.
Yeah.
People really want to date an NRL referee.
They sure do, Chris. They're really Hollywood Bill, look at him.
Quite the catch.
Has to knock them off, yeah.
Quite the catch.
Anyway, phone returned, and we look for better news coming up.
We do.
Dating news. Look, some other news just came through. Let's not forget how bloody rugby league Tom Dutton really is. And just going back, some people remind us about it. Remember Jesse Bromwich and Kevin Proctor outside a nightclub under CCTV using a phone, Chris, no less?
There you go. So that, of course, was after an unsuccessful tilt at Jersey.
Allegedly.
Stadium. No, I don't think it was alleged. This was admitted.
Admitted usage of white powder.
This is after a World Cup game.
Yeah.
And I think they've been unsuccessful against the Australian Kangaroos.
Yeah.
And it was in a public square in the ACT, Belconnen, somewhere
right,
like that.
Right under the cameras.
Radden.
What's her name?
Marnica.
Marnica.
Definitely not Fishwick.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't have been out in the square if they were in Fishwick.
Now, I'm assuming that in this discussion that it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's not taken as seriously as it used to. Like the likes of Wendell Saylor, he was just bounced, wasn't he?
Yeah, now, I mean, from what we see, the clubs, certainly down in the AFL, do their best to cover it up. Because it has changed, Stephen, because the Bromwich Proctor situation was a fan offering a gift.
Yes.
Well
received.
The Dutton was a birthday treat. I think we're changing the way in which we view
appreciation
recreational
topics,
drugs.
Yes.
They're not a scourge, they're a present.
Or you may just well be sick like Cannon Ponga. Not Ashley.
That's very much alleged.
Yeah.
With Kurt Mann. You know, I was just helping a sick mate. Took my drink in with me. By the way, did you see Caelan Pong is doing renovations?
I did not.
He's supervising because he says, I don't know how to swing a hammer.
Yeah.
Now, unless you're Thor, I don't really think you swing a hammer.
No, you do not swing a hammer.
But if he needs some advice.
Who would he go to?
Junior Ramone.
Junior Ramone, right. Now, going back to the Gold Coast, Cameron Munster and Brandon Smith, of course, they can't remember. Did they or did they not?
Well, this was
doesn't exist.
This was the beautiful contrast because you've got the Cheese and Munster. This was after Melbourne had been bounced out of one of the COVID era premierships, and you've got Munster on the table with a Ziploc bag.
Oh yes,
you've got the Cheese with the credit card and an unidentified white powder, and they went
no straws, Chris.
No, but no. No notes, no money,
no.
Just credit cards.
Okay.
I don't know, what do you call that, going bareback or something? I don't know. But they went cab in hand and said, it is a fair cop gov, but I was so drunk, I have no idea what the white powder was. And they was accepted.
And how's their game going now, Chris?
Well, Munster's not doing so well, and the Cheese is finding his way back in favour in the Roosters.
Yes.
But that was in huge contrast to young Reece Walsh, who we just mentioned.
Yes.
That we don't want around here. And he was at a Gold Coast nightclub during his Warriors
era. Did you say Gold Coast?
Gold Coast.
Yeah, okay.
Tom Dutton style.
And yet what? Okay.
What is it about the Gold Coast, by the way?
Yeah. And why can't Desi tap into all that?
Well, I'm not sure that Desi isn't tapping into something now. If you saw the scoreboard at the end of that game against the Warriors, 6-6-6.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you mentioned Cameron Munster, Cameron Smith.
So it's a great place to muck up, is it?
But Reece Walsh maybe had a couple of drinks and was asked by the local constabulary to move on from a nightclub, which wouldn't be the first person to be able to move on. And then Reece has returned to the nightclub an hour later and the same constables have said, young fella.
Didn't I just tell you
to move on? He goes, officer, I did, and you should also know there's a small bag of cocaine in my pocket.
honest to a T.
Terrific. Wow. This is now why he's so popular.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did a press conference the next day and he owned it. He issued the standard apology, his family, his friends, the team, the game of rugby league, the Society of Australia. And now look at him.
Look, I would suggest if you've got a spare week, look into rugby league players and atrocities when it comes to white powder or alleged white powder in Ziploc bags and you have a field day.
And what I love is Walsh's honesty is so refreshing because the players go, yes, it's on film. This is a little bit kind of Trumpian, right? Yeah, yeah. Sean Lane now playing his trade for Parramatta on the end of season Harbour Cruise, photograph with a bag in his mouth.
That's right.
And just said it was sugar.
Yes.
Valentine Holmes, of course, just last year with a schooner.
Yes.
Beautifully pastiched by Dale Shearer.
Now, Dale Shearer did the post-impressionist routine, didn't he?
He did.
I'm going to copy that guy doing something that he said he wasn't doing.
That's right. And you'd think it was funny, but we don't like it, Stephen.
No, no, no.
Because when rugby league zones start making fun of rugby league,
we haven't
got a job.
It's not their go. Craig Field, of course, famously called them cocaine tablets.
Yeah.
And everyone was scratching their head going, cocaine tablets, really?
I remember that. The general reaction, it was, I think, at the Star at some function. And it might have been a Tigers function, to be honest. And I can't remember if it was Kevin or Ken McGuinness, so I don't want to cast the inappropriate allegation, but it was admitted. But it was around cocaine tablets. And the biggest reaction we heard in the marketplace is, where do I get one of those?
One of these things, yes. Cocaine tablets, okay. And, of course, really the people most pissed off are the Chloe Hotel.
This is a recent one, Stephen, and we don't like to talk about AFL fact, but there was something quixotic about the two Sydney Swans AFLW players who approached from memory a silver Nissan outside the Chloe.
And
there was a brief transaction followed by a plainclothes police officer, and they also, Reece Walsh style, copped it.
Owned it.
And we said, had they just simply walked down to Clovelly Beach, there'd been bricks of cocaine washing up on beaches
four
for months.
Bricks, you know,
so you would have done much better.
Go for your life.
That's
go for your life.
Right.
Now, I don't know what happens down in Bleak Town or Bleary Town or Grey Town, Chris, but this week there's a big game, or tomorrow night to be more precise, State of Origin number 2. Did you know Melbourne is the Paris of the South? Did you know that, Chris? Some say the Prague, but they like to say
self-proclaimed.
Paris.
I'm not so sure about Paris, Stephen. Yeah. Have you been following?
Well, I believe that they're very much close to launch day. What is it now, sort of 5 weeks away?
Yeah, the Olympics. Yeah, back end of July. And you may not have realised this, Stephen, but as opposed to State of Origin, where apparently some 90,000 Melburnians will turn up at the G.
Is that right?
Which is what sort of ground?
Iconic.
Thank you. And this is because, and this is something that I came up with, Stephen. I've patented.
And did you know you can get nearly 100,000 people in there?
Yeah.
Did you know?
I did that. And on a good day, you can.
You can.
And this is an expression that I patented, Stephen. It's never occurred to anyone ever to say this before, but Stephen, in Melbourne, sport is a religion.
Is that right?
Right.
Is that the sporting capital of Australia?
It's the sporting self-proclaimed.
Unbelievable. Wow. What about Papua New Guinea?
And what a beautiful segue that Gil McLachlan goes from head of the AFL to the head of Tabcorp.
Tabcorp.
Perfect procession.
Man,
but
grid straight in.
Apparently, Parisians, part of a country that's about to lurch to the far right.
Yes.
They're not all on board with the Olympics, Stephen.
No.
And one of the innovative ideas that was his first self-proclaimed was to have the opening ceremony at the River Seine.
Yes.
Outdoors, not in a stadium.
Yeah.
Everyone goes, how wonderful.
Yeah.
Then recently someone says, what if it rains? They go, well, hang on.
Yeah.
Right.
Not going to look good, is it?
And there's a law that's been passed that you can't swim in the River Seine for 101 years.
Because?
Too polluted.
Too polluted.
Public safety.
Okay, right.
So for the Olympics.
Because they are known for their protests.
Yeah.
Yes.
Macron and his lying cronies, according to Scott Morrison, have colluded and they've invested 1.5 billion euros in cleaning up the river, right? And the social-minded Parisians who are opposed to this have decided that they're going to stand in opposition to this waste of public funding, which could go to, have guess, Le schools and La hospitals. And they're going to defecate in the Seine en masse to torpedo the opening ceremony.
Just to make matters worse.
It'll be like that nude swim down in Tasmania that happened recently.
Who's calling it for the Australian television crowd?
What, the defecation or the Olympics?
The opening, Chris. The opening.
It's Channel 9.
Yeah. And who would it be?
Oh,
might be Rabs.
No, Rabs is done, but Bracey would be over there.
Bracey, yeah.
They'll have, you know, they'll steered the likes of Thorpe in their direction.
Yes, yes.
Basil Zemplis, he'd stay at 7.
What about Carl? Will Carl be doing it?
There'll be a Woodbridge there for sure.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if they'll report.
Gian Rooney.
I wonder if they'll report on that, that episode, that smell. Coming down the river.
Like a stadium.
Or the cameras be told not to focus on what's in the river, those floating objects.
And I'll be honest, Stephen, I'm not the only person to make this point, but all their promos have been done to the tune of Ça Plan Pour Moi by Patrick Bertrand.
Where's he from?
Belgium.
Belgium, exactly. It's a great little pop tune, but hello.
I liked Elton Metello's Jet Boy, Jet Girl.
Serge Gainsbourg would be better, you know. So many others. Daft Punk, come on.
Well, there's Air.
The French, Air, hello.
Another gig for Air.
Yeah, another gig for Air. Now, Chris, State of Origin, of course, there hasn't been a lot of hullabaloo, not a lot of fiction, not a lot of bad words said, but... a certain man who was labelled, I think by Roy, the perfumed grub.
Oh, yeah, Billy Slater.
Is that something they're going to import into Paris? The perfumed grub? As you come through, they spray you down so in case you smell a bit.
Sounds like a Banksy exhibition, doesn't it?
And who's he referring to?
Billy Slater.
Billy Slater, the perfumed grub. Wow, haven't the tides turned on Billy Slater? How are his PR team doing, Chris? Not very well.
A little bit like Christy Noem, the governor of South Dakota, who shot the dog and the goat and didn't meet Kim Jong-un.
The brick pit, was it?
Yeah, how are they going? They're busy. And look, this all spiraled from simply the use of two words, the title of the 1981 Billy Joel opus, Glass Houses, by Madge, right?
So it wasn't written by Jesus Christ.
No.
No.
It wasn't written by Chaucer.
No,
it was written by Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, okay.
Just a guy punching on from Long Island.
Okay. And what did Billy say to that in response?
He said, I've seen the lights go out on Queensland.
He said that much.
That's right. And so Madge has appropriated that. Billy said, I'm not discussing the Reese Walsh, which spoke volumes. He's gone glass houses and the world's had a look at Billy's rap sheet.
But the power of the sound of silence, Chris, the art of silence.
Yes.
That whole sort of Zen Buddhist thing about say nothing and it just aggravates everybody because you know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
We know what Billy's thinking.
Mm.
He's a cat.
Yeah. And look, it's highly likely that Queensland will prevail, win 3-0 and we'll all be upset. But if there's some good, the very least that can come out of this Origin series if Billy goes 3-0 as an Origin coach, is that there's a very clear stain on his reputation, and I feel pretty happy about that.
Right. How do you think Major's going?
Well, this is one tick.
One tick, yeah.
But if they lose tomorrow night, he ain't going too good.
Word is that he didn't really want Latrell Mitchell.
Because he didn't think he was committed.
Committed.
And then what Latrell did was sent... I think this was impressive from Latrell.
Yeah.
He went up to his local... what is it? Douglas Hanley Moore or whatever those pathology labs are.
Oh, yes.
And he says...
Tested for blood.
And they've gone, if you got a referral from your GP, said, I don't need one, I just need you to take a healthy blood sample.
It was a note from Wayne.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wayne says, please take this man's blood.
Yeah. Check.
In a vial.
Yeah.
Labelled. Yeah. What's your name, Latrell Mitchell? What's your birth date? Correct.
Yeah.
Sent to Madge, FedExed.
Yeah.
Opened it up.
Ah.
What colour was the vial?
Well, red.
No, it was blue, Stephen.
That's what I'm thinking. How could that possibly work out?
Because Latrell Mitchell bleeds blue.
Bleeds blue.
And that was enough for Madge and also the absence of Joseph Swahilihi to turn him around.
Right. Are there any things that you think are important about this game coming that may turn it in the favour of the Southerners?
The Southerners being us?
Yes.
What might work? That almost sounds like a football question.
Okay. Mitchell Moses, what's his best strength?
Got a good boot on him. His greatest weakness, his name Mitchell, which unfortunately...
Everybody's Mitchell these days.
And connection to Mitchell Pearce.
And what are they going to do if they call it Mitch? Who's going to take the ball? He's going to kick these big bombs, but apparently there's a bit of a fear of the spatial dimension capacity of kickers in the G. Because the G is so big, no boundaries.
And you know what sort of ground it is?
It's round, Chris.
No, it's something more else. It's
I'm
also,
not even say cricket.
It's iconic.
It's iconic, an iconic AFL ground.
So the mathematicians are having a field day with this, Stephen, about how does a rectangular field fit into an oval-shaped ground? And the answer to that is quite easily.
Right.
And someone like Joey Johns has said this throws everything up in the air.
Is he mathematician number one?
Yeah. And he gets very analytic. He says, I simplified. I simply kick for the corner post.
Yeah.
I orient myself. I was very impressed with Nathan Cleary did that at Perth.
Yeah.
New South Wales has won, I think, at Perth, Melbourne 4 out of 5 times, been 2-0 at Perth, 0-2 in Adelaide.
Yes.
But this is a mathematical problem that's complex and nuanced and needs to be solved. Then Cooper Cronk goes on TV last night and goes, that's all rubbish.
Right. Well, he would say that. He's a Queenslander.
It's a rivalry, Stephen. Yeah, yeah. It's like modern politics. Find an issue, disagree.
Yeah. So Mitch 2, we're calling Mitch 2 now?
Mitch the second.
Is he being told not to kick the ball, to just to grubber it?
He's going to
flout.
He'll do some Burton style. That's probably the biggest thing New South Wales have got going for us.
Yes.
Is that Latrell's last name is Mitchell,
right?
Not his first name,
right?
And can I just simply say, unleash Trell on Queensland?
Well, who else said that? Jerome Luai.
Yeah. What did he have to say?
He said, Michael Luck and Oath Man. That was the opening. That's the vibe he's brought into the camp. He's got an aura about him. Did you know? And it's a blue aura too, Chris.
That's right.
I think if he's out there, automatically you have to think about him and what he can do. As an individual, there are only a few players as gifted as that. If he turns up ready to rock...
Baby, baby, baby!
All we're going to do now is to win and win for our state. So that's set the tremors through Queensland, hasn't it?
Hey, Stephen.
Yeah.
I love rock and roll.
I love rock and roll. Now, they're claiming they're not even interested.
Who's not interested? Queensland?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben Hunt says he's just another guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just another player that we prepare for.
And not in his head?
No.
Didn't get his head.
I think by Ben...
Have you seen Ben Hunt's eyes?
Yes.
Not a lot going on in the head.
Well, he was looking down. He was almost looking defeated.
Yeah, right.
And I think by simply articulating that Latrell Mitchell is not in our heads is clear evidence that Latrell Mitchell is in there.
Because they would never have said the word.
No.
Yeah, they never...
This is where I believe Billy will get his comeuppance.
Yeah.
Because that would never have happened
yes.
under the Coach Whisperer's watch.
Is it not a... Yeah. What are the Coach Whisperers saying? What, have you spoken to him?
I'm actually having lunch with him tomorrow.
On
Thursday, Stephen.
Okay, we'll find out the dirt, what the score will be.
And he's been photographed with DCE flouting the new book.
Oh, God.
And he'll be enraged that Ben Hunt has identified Latrell Mitchell by now.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
broken all the rules.
The yeah.
Now, speaking of Joey, in the men's under-19s origin game, halfback Mitchell Woods.
There it is again.
There it is again, Chris. Another Mitchell was caught on camera doing a bit of self-irrigation. Now, apparently this is very popular in boxing, right? NRL player Mitchell Woods, he went to talk about something that caught his eye was a bizarre move from Woods who sprayed water down his pants. I'm assuming ice water, cool water.
Yeah, so he's got his water bottle.
Yeah.
They've run onto the field. He's opened up the shorts, unloosened the drawstring, jet of water down the front of the strides.
Have you never done that?
I'm just trying to think.
Because we little blokes, little fellas, we have to do that regularly.
Well, my understanding, and I've not played elite representative football, Stephen, but my understanding is most of the players said, how do you feel when you run onto the field? And they go, I'm nervous but excited.
Ah.
I think generally in balance, but in Mitchell's case, I think he was a little bit more excited than he was nervous.
Yes, yes. So what are those heat-detecting glasses, you know?
That's right.
Joey Johnson should get a pair.
If you walk through the airport, excuse me, sir, come over. Are you a pitch invader?
What's going on?
And if you're going to pitch invade in that current condition,
you're
not just going to get a fine. You're
going to
get
trouble.
You're going to get an indecent exposure rap.
And a doctor.
That's right.
Look, adding that Mitch number three, right, is an electric runner, says Joey. Top end speed, tough as they come, apparently, and needs to cool down.
And it was part of the cliche was they breed them tough and then you insert whatever town they came from. I want to hear when someone will come in and say, you know what, they don't breed them that tough in Jerrygong.
Just say that. Now, Stephen Crichton, right, critter to some people.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about his handshakes, Chris. How many handshakes did he have to, develop and spread?
So you're in the Canterbury squad and there'll be some... variation over the course of the year. So let's say 32.
32 handshakes,
Then he goes into Origin.
And these are boutique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all customised.
Customised, yeah.
You've then got to develop a handshake for each Origin player. And
bespoke, Chris.
Yes, and not much overlap with the Bulldogs and the Origin team.
Right, not much. Hang on, Supercoach Sorelli.
And just taking a bunch of faceless journeymen and concocting some sort of defensive
cocktail. Therefore, he's Supercoach, yes.
Yeah. And now, of course, five changes in the Blues, five more handshakes for Critter to come up with.
Wow.
Mm.
How long does each one take, do we know?
Various.
So each one, we've got Max Kinn. Any ideas what he's doing for Max?
So they do a crane. Because of Max's...
is that a Bruce Lee thing?
Yeah, I think a little bit, maybe a variation on the Karate Kid.
Karate Kid,
to do with Max's unusual offloading style.
Okay, Blake Wilson.
Blake Wilson, tell me about that one.
A salt sprinkle. Wow. Now, I saw that on MasterChef last night in China.
Right.
Yeah, well, they were using salt sprinkles on top of food to sort of take out some moisture, I think.
So Blake, no doubt, MasterChef.
The Fox.
Yeah, well, they grabbed the crest because, you know, when Josh Adakar scores, he loves to grab the crest. So they're sort of shaking with one hand and cresting with the other.
Does he get confused and go to the Melbourne crest occasionally? Just as like, oh, shit, I forgot it.
West Tigers as well.
West Tigers, hello. They all start there, don't they?
And then they move on and be successful.
And Jerome himself, what's his gesture?
Gee, I don't know what Jerome would...
A Dragon Ball...
Oh, Dragon Ball Z.
Or Z.
Yes, the anime.
Okay.
Yeah, move from Dragon Ball Z.
Well, let's hope Stephen Crichton's going to be busy celebrating with the handshakes tomorrow night.
If he's reporting to a physio on Thursday morning with RSI, Stephen, we've had a big win.
Okay. Well, we look forward to a little bit more of... Yes?
Yes, we're saying we're talking about who we don't want at Origin. One player that we won't be seeing at Origin is Cronulla Sutherland's speedster, Ronaldo Mulitalo, and Dennis Carnahan will explain why.
Okay, I've no idea.
Ronaldo Mulitalo is one of Queensland's favourite sons. He's from the North Island of Queensland, from where so many Queenslanders come. Ronaldo Mulitalo, yes, he's from Queensland through and through. Ronaldo lives and breathes for Queensland, but he can't play for the Maroons. To play Origin for Queensland, there's a three-part questionnaire. Did you arrive before you turned 13, or were you born there? Did your parents play for Queensland? Just one yes and you'll be fine. But Ronaldo answered no, 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 yet thinks he qualifies. Ronaldo Mulitalo is one of Queensland's favourite sons. He's from the North Island of Queensland, from where so many Queenslanders come. The NRL gave rule exemptions for Joseph Suali and Sonny Bill Williams to join the Roosters team. They won't give an exemption for Mulitalo. They'll change their rules for the Roosters, but not for the Maroons. Ronaldo Mulitalo is one of Queensland's favourite sons. He's from the North Island of Queensland, from where so many Queenslanders come. Ronaldo Mulitalo, yes, he's from Queensland through and through. Oh yes, he lives and breathes for Queensland, but he can't play for the Maroons.
Hey, welcome back to Fire Up. I'm still fired up. Chris, had a bye on the weekend. We won. You had a win. Tell us about your win. Were you there?
I was there, Stephen.
Where was there?
There was Campbelltown Sports Stadium. On 5 minutes past four was kickoff on a Sunday afternoon.
Was there a pitch invader?
No.
Was there a streaker?
There was none of that frippery because people were there for one reason only, Stephen, that was to watch the footy.
Yeah, and to win.
And what a breakout party it was for Benji's Babes.
Stephen. Right, Benji's Babes, wow. And why are they? Are they young?
They're young and enthusiastic as opposed to the people who are suspended or injured on our sideline who are veterans and not motivated.
So it wasn't deliberate.
No, and we had like a brace of Fainus out there.
And
there'll be a huge irony if Scott Fulton, who was bumped as recruitment manager, if the Tigers end up being recurrently successful off the back of the Fainu brothers, and there are three of them.
Is that a Fulton move?
And that was a Fulton move. Mm. And we had a brace of Lau Lilies, Luke and Kit. Luke made his debut and scored a try within 10 minutes,
Chris,
Stephen.
Chris, stop right there. You're telling me there's no Mitch? Mitchells?
No Mitchells.
You're going to need a couple of those in your team.
And at one stage, the Tigers led by 42 points to 8, Stephen.
42 to 8?
And we were still nervous.
Yeah.
One highlight was the scoreboard operator kept just bumping the score. So we're up 18 blot. And I had a look and I said, hang on, are we up 22-0? Have I, you know, had an episode and missed a try? Because we were scoring that many so quickly. And it was... Shows the vagaries of modern technology, Stephen, because you know at Leichhardt the previous week, you need the spirit figures for the scoreboard operator to physically change the number.
Yes, because it's not digital. Right, okay. And were there any really likeable little guys?
In the Tigers team, Solomona Fatape, who did a magnificent skirt down the far touchline from where I was sitting and flicked it inside to a return Adam Dewey, Stephen. And let me tell you, you want a feel-good story. Three reconstructions later of his knee, Adam Dewey, who didn't have Thug It Out tattooed on his knee, out sprinted. Kyo Weeks had just scored a great solo try for the Raiders and was coached as a junior by said Dennis Carnahan.
Wow.
And Dewey scored, sealed the game, which is ridiculous to think you're up by 42 points to 8 and you needed to do something to seal the game. Dewey?
Yeah.
Yeah, just hero.
What?
Just hero.
What about Huey, Dewey and Louie? Yeah. No.
The news. Dewey in the news.
Dewey in the news.
So it was a marvellous occasion, Stephen. Yeah. And, of course...
Was there food?
I was fortunate enough to be in a catered area. And, I saw Barry... Yeah. a triumphant Barry O'Farrell.
Oh, previous premier.
Yes, and current chair of the Tigers. And we were next to the box, which was the Canberra Politburo.
Okay.
Very stern faces. Yeah. It looked like one of the razor gangs had turned up from Canberra Parliament, and all they were there was just a slash and
did anybody bother to tell Shane Richardson the game was on?
Richo, I think, was still on holidays. But the one thing I can tell was I thought that the West Tigers, and I'm not getting ahead of myself, Stephen, because I know many people are, it's all still green shoots, dot, dot, dot. But I saw them play with, dare I say it, a Fijian flair, Stephen.
Fijian flair.
Yeah. You know, I've forensically gone back and had a look at the Fijian rugby league players, the rugby union players, the way they play, keep the ball alive. Those 4 days that Benji spent in Fiji was not. And they did play Escape the Pina Colada song over the DJ system.
You're very impressed with that.
Yeah, he wasn't there sipping Pina Colada, Stephen. He was absorbing the Fijian style of rugby league.
He knows how serious he's got, you know, but he still hasn't forgotten that light touch.
Benji is so focused.
Yeah.
He was up in the coaching box, still wearing his Mark Hughes Foundation beanie from the round before. Because
wow,
he hasn't found time to take it off, Stephen.
No.
Because despite the reports, he's a 24/7 rugby league coach.
He's not a fly-by-nighter and a dreamer and a holidayer.
And if I'm the Sydney Roosters, Stephen, and I'm not, I would be quaking
next,
in my
it?
Respective boots. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sitting with my Roosters, mate, Stephen. It's not a good idea.
So a good day was had by all out at Campbelltown.
Well, and you get an aftermath as always, Stephen, and the aftermath is reflected in the attitudes of the coaches, and it feels like the right time for us to dial in.
Get on the line, in your time, I'm always ready to make you smile.
Benji, what does it say to Lockie Galvin that he can go through what he's been through the last couple of weeks and then come out and play like that?
Well, some people really are just footy players and that's what they do best, and Lockie's that sort of guy.
Mental. No, that's an individual choice. You know, I've got too many individual choices at the moment. We're taking soft options.
Change the side, Rick? Is that the answer?
Could be, mate. Yeah.
Mate, I don't want to be in that room.
No, I know.
Do you? That's a horror room, isn't it?
And look, I don't want to give the Raiders any free kicks, Stephen, but the answer for Ricky's problem when he was asked by the journo should there be changes in the team is to listen what Benji had to say about Lockie Galvin.
Because he likes to play footy.
Get footy players into
just
your team.
Footy players. Sticky.
That's all you need. Footy players. It's a simple game.
Can I just say, Benji would know that.
Benji would know that because he played footy.
He played footy and he played it well.
Yeah.
And that's all we've been waiting for.
He played a bit
of
footy.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ricky.
And can I tell you...
Did Ricky play footy?
He used to annoy people. I can tell you for a fact that it was us out there on Sunday.
It was you. And what about the Raiders? Did Ricky say anything about them?
Yeah. Well, in the end, Benji Tigers in, Ricky Raiders out.
Out, let's face it, you know... Small guys, little guys in.
Little guys, flavour of the
big
month.
Big guys out.
Yeah. Elbow in.
Young upstarts, they're in. You know, the old blokes out, you know.
Yes.
You know, there's a whole lot of people out at the moment because of the havoc of injury and, of course, state of origin. Melbourne's in.
Look, you can't even bring yourself to talk about, oh, I thought finally the Melbourne bubble would burst. We identified.
What number are they sitting at?
Number of...
No, on the ladder.
Number one.
Number bloody one.
At least they're on top of your Sharks. But the...
my Sharks.
Well, I know you death ride the Sharks. But, like, everyone goes, you know, I thought maybe now, you know, after Smith had gone or whatever, Storms aren't going to be as good as they were. I guess they got Munster, blah, blah, blah. We've explained that Craig Bellamy did a deal with the devil. There's very few forces in this world more powerful than Lucifer. Nick Politis would be one of them. And Melbourne aren't going anywhere soon, Stephen. So I think we've all got to accept that. Melbourne are in and they'll be staying in.
Now, I just didn't know what to make of that game because there was Melbourne who eventually overtook the Dolphins, the Redcliffe Dolphins, East Brisbane, you know, run by, you know, super coach Wayne Bennett, who's now coaching two teams at once.
Well, Wayne's in.
And when one of them's going to win. And Souths are now winning. As he walks in the door, they're winning. And he's told everyone... who he doesn't want to go, you know. And the coaches are in an uproar around the whole code. Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? Will I get this job? Will I get that job? Wayne's in.
I tell you, Wayne casts a net that's so wide. In the last year, Broncos, a lot of Wayne in the Broncos, grand finalists.
Yeah.
The Dragons much better this year. Yeah. Dean Young. Coached by Wayne.
And don't talk about Parramatta, Chris.
Well, I'm sure that won't happen.
I mean, he's got ambition. We understand that.
Yeah.
Every St. George ex-player from 2010 wants to coach a team now, correct?
If Dean Young is assessing, hang on, Flano's not going anywhere, I'd be making sure Flano's going somewhere. Benji, coached by Wayne, in.
Yeah,
right. Newcastle. Yeah. Well, okay, there's always an exception that proves the rule.
We haven't been coached by Wayne.
Yeah, you have, 2010.
No, well, you and me, fire.
Oh, no. The closest we got to Wayne was when we had his unofficial biographer, because he wasn't allowing an autobiography, Andrew Webster.
Who dialed in?
Wayne dialed in, and it's not giving anything away that Andrew showed us on his screen. Coach,
yeah. And he said to us, shh, got to talk. You guys can just shut up, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we were mid-episode. Yeah.
So I took some delight, though, because I don't think the Redcliffe Dolphins should be winning as well as they should be.
Because?
Because they're only new, Chris. You know my theories about having to earn a premiership.
And hey, when did Melbourne beat St. George Illawarra?
Their second year in.
There you
my
go.
Point, exactly. That's exactly right. So I'm happy to see the Dolphins go down, but I really would rather... I just can't wait for St. George to take Melbourne and win. silence.
Well, you know, everyone has a frame of reference. Everyone has a body of knowledge. Everyone has understanding, Stephen.
Yeah.
My mind's not big enough to imagine that situation ever occurring.
No, unfortunately, we're waiting to see. Every dog has his day, as they say, Chris, for another cliche. Right?
Well, not if you're the Gold Coast Titans or the
unless
Warriors.
Unless you've got anything else to say, I'm going to wrap this thing up.
Look, let's hope that we are doing a post-mortem where Origin is going up to Suncorp Stadium, Stephen. I should make mention of the Irish Exiles who have provided us with some lovely promotional
photos. What a great
name,
the Irish Exiles, though.
I know. Yeah. So they're gearing up for the Oztag Championships early August in Coffs Harbour.
Coffs Harbour, yeah.
I can't get there because of wrestling commitments at Sex Stadium, but they had a round of under-21s and Opens warm-up games against Sri Lanka on the weekend, Stephen. Yeah. I tell you, Sri Lanka, we're on the positive side of the ledger. Really, this is Peter Beattie's dream come true.
Right.
If we can see rugby league spreading its wings in that way.
And for me, the side, you know what I'm hoping for? A streak.
That's what we want to be here talking about next week. We're on rugbyleague.com, courtesy of Steve Mascourt.
Yep.
We've got a website coming where you'll be able to buy Fire Up merchandise.
Right.
We continue our relationship with the Irish Exiles.
Yes.
But far more importantly, there wasn't a pitch invasion at the iconic G. There was a streak.
I tell you who won't be doing a streak, and that's our good mate of Fire Up, David Gallop. David Gallop's now the head of course, Venues New South Wales.
Yeah, Avenues
He's come
New
up
South
with
Wales.
This great idea because we prompt him, right? We said Allianz should be sitting there empty half the time just because Nick Politis wants to sit on it.
You mean the Roosters' home ground?
That home ground, remember? And really, rugby union, nobody plays there anymore, do they? Do they?
No.
Soccer's dead in the ground at the
moment.
Or the men's soccer anyway. So what are we going to do? He's come up with a thing called the Eora Cup.
Ooh.
So it's a local Eora region cup where the three home teams, West Tigers, South Sydney, and the Roosters, all battle it out against three other teams they invite in, like St. George Illawarra.
I had a sense that it was us against you.
Yeah.
And surely they'd go Roosters Rabbits for the Eora Cup, wouldn't you think?
I think so.
That'd be a good idea.
Mm.
These are things to ponder on and report back in on next week.
Next week. See you later.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!